Imagine yourself in a position where you have to go to visit with that family and tell them that news. And I wanted to come to support him this morning, to go to the division with him as he spoke to the colleagues of Officer Northrup, because, and I just was there. I didn't say anything. I just was there because I wanted to support him, because he's a good man and he's doing a good job for us. It's a difficult job.
That's Toronto Mayor John Tory. He was alongside Interim Chief James Raymer today, delivering news that has not been delivered a lot in the city of Toronto. This is only the 41st time we've had an officer lose their life in the line of duty. They announced that Constable Jeffrey Northrup of 52 Division lost his life after being intentionally struck, police believe, by a vehicle near City Hall overnight. Tamara,
you could say this is only the 41st time, or you could say this is the 41st time that a family has
really
gotten this awful news.
Yeah.
One is too many.
Couldn't. And it was interesting to go through the wall of memoriam on the Toronto Police website, because it started to bring back, you know, I started to read some of the names, and I remember some of the names and the stories that took their lives from us. I want to bring in Newstalk 1010's crime expert, Mark Mendelson. Of course, Mark was an officer here in the city of Toronto working homicide for many years. It is good to have you, but on an occasion like this, that's a tough thing to say, Mark. I want to talk a little bit more about the personal side of policing, the stuff the public doesn't hear about, that we don't see. And I think that the first thing I want to talk to you about is just, what is that like? You get up in the morning, you put your pants on, you look at your family, and you know that this could be the last time you see them.
Well, good afternoon, Ryan, and hi, Tamara, as well.
Hey, Mark.
You know, I think every officer sort of knows what they sign up for when they decide to go into policing, and it's certainly discussed, you know, during the recruitment process and training and what have you. But as we all know, it's one thing to hear somebody make a speech and read a book about it. It's another thing to actually live it. And, you know, when I think about, you know, my career and all the people that I worked with, you don't wake up every morning thinking that you're not going to come home at the end of the day. And certainly the families, you know, the spouses and the children don't think about it every day either. Mm-hmm. You just assume that, your day is going to go on. And, you know, having been involved in unfortunately too many of these situations where officers have been murdered, I can tell you there's no playbook. You know, when the chief and a homicide detective or somebody from the association knocks on the family door at 3 a.m., mm-hmm. The spouse knows. There's no good coming from that call. And it's absolute shock. It's shock for the police. It is certainly shock for Constable Northrup's family and his colleagues. And, you know, it's also shock for his partner as well, who she was injured in this situation, unfortunately not seriously, and released from hospital. But it just rattles through every police service in this country as they sit there and they go, my God, how many times have I tried to arrest somebody near a car? And could that have been me? And, you know, when the family's going to go through, as Tamara, I'm sure, knows from, you know, all of the clients that she's been dealing with in her career, you've got absolute disbelief, mm-hmm. and you have shock and confusion and anger and all that range of emotion that's going through so quickly that it's completely overwhelming. But the good thing is that certainly the Toronto Police have, the resources available to help this family in any way, shape, or form, whether that's groceries, financial situations, just taking care of them, protecting them, insulating them at this particular point from the media, because they're looking for answers as well. But we've got a criminal investigation. We've got somebody arrested for murder. So the amount of information that the family can actually get is really limited, because you've got to protect the judicial process. So there's so many things going on, but one thing's for sure, that every cop's going to have a different spiny sense when they go to work today and tomorrow, and every time they stop a vehicle, they'll be thinking about this in the back of their heads.
And I mean, you say every cop, and I know we're talking about cops right across the country, but when we think about Constable Northrup's partner. I mean, you mentioned, thankfully, she wasn't seriously injured. It should be noted that she wasn't seriously physically injured. I can only imagine the mental injuries that she'll suffer from this event. But when we talk about the cops that, you know, they got to just hit the road, they got to get back, respond to the next call. That includes police officers who Constable Northrup worked with on a daily basis. We were told by, I believe it was Interim Chief Raymer, who said this morning that there would be officers from across the city who'd be coming down to 52 Division to help fill at least the first few hours so his platoon could come to terms with what happened. But the first few hours is what he was talking about. Like, what must it be like, Mark, for those officers who knew this man, who are grieving, to go back on the road and do that job?
Well, it's extremely difficult, but it's something that you have to do. And, you know, he comes from 52 Division, which is probably the largest and busiest division in this city, with hundreds of officers in that division. And he'd been there for quite some time. Yeah. And although he worked in the major crime unit, which is a smaller office in 52 Division, you can be sure over his 30-plus year career, he has touched and gotten to know so many officers over the years. And they're all going to feel it. And yes, they're going to need some time to process this. There will be counselors at the station for the next couple of days. And if any officer says, you know what, I just can't do this today, I can't come in, nobody's going to blink an eye. They're going to get all the support that they need. And you know, it hasn't been mentioned, but I think it has to be mentioned that, you know, the first responders that arrived, I mean, some of the first responders were Toronto Fire. And you know, they have to see this. The paramedics have to deal with this. And let's not forget the trauma staff at St. Mike's. And I don't care what anybody says. When a police officer has been killed and the fire department arrives and paramedics arrive and they end up in a trauma unit like St. Mike's, when it's a cop, it's different. Mm-hmm. Because they're all part of this first responder emergency response family. And I mean, I'll bet you Constable Northrup had been inside St. Mike's Emerge hundreds.
Oh God,
of
yes.
Probably knew some of the doctors and nurses that were there. And we need to acknowledge that they're going to feel this as well.
Yeah. Oh my God, Mark, you got me going over here. I wanted to ask you too, because you're a homicide investigator for so many years, what it must be like, because it's a Toronto Police homicide team that is investigating this homicide. Is it just a matter, because those homicide investigators are consummate professionals for the most part. What must it be like for them today, having to conduct a homicide investigation when it hits so close to home? And how do you remain, you know, impartial enough that a defense lawyer is not going to come after you and say, well, you know, you just laid this charge because it was one of your own?
Well, it's a question of putting the blinkers on and dealing with the evidence. Let the evidence dictate the course of the investigation. If the evidence is there, then the charges will be laid. I'm sure they'll be speaking with a Crown attorney, but as a homicide detective, I can tell you it's very different dealing with the death of an officer, you know, by the hand of somebody else, as opposed to other murders, because everything is different. These, you know, it's entirely possible some of the guys in homicide knew this yeah. officer, and mm-hmm. it's difficult. But you have to remember, at the end of the day, there's a prosecution, and then that has to take place in court. There has to be a case put together, and it's got to be every I dotted and every T crossed, because you don't want to give an opening to defense counsel to say that emotions dictated the flow of the investigation. So you've just got to hunker down and you have to do it. And I tell you, I've done it. It's not easy, but it has to be done. There's no other option.
Mark, thank you for the time today.
Have a good afternoon, guys.